Dear students, I am A.K. Mishra from Institute of Fire and Safety Engineering, Nagpur. My institute code number is 44228. We will talk about fire and safety engineering science. In Unit 5, we will discuss about hazard evaluation techniques. Generally, we use HAZOP study, fault tree analysis, job safety analysis, event tree analysis as a hazard evaluation tools. First, we discuss about HAZOP studies. Hazards are all the consequences which can cause damage, injury or loss. The intentions defines how a particular plant section is expected to operate. This can take a number of forms and can be either descriptive or diagrammatic. In many cases, it will be a flow sheet or a line diagram. HAZOP is useful for identification of hazard in a chemical and process industry. HAZOP is the systematic and critical approach to examine design and operating system. For detecting the possible route of hazard which may lead to accident. Fourth, for finding out causes and consequences of human and equipment failure. What are the procedure for HAZOP study? To carry out the HAZOP study, 7 guided words are applied to find deviation from design intention which upset to the following 4 parameters. First is material, second is activity, third is source, and fourth one is destination. These 7 guided words, first one is no, not, none, means complete negation of intention. Second word is more of, means quantitative increase. Third, less of, means quantitative decrease. Fourth, as well as, means qualitative increase. Fifth, part of, means portion of the total. Sixth, reverse, logical opposite to the intention. Seventh, other than, means complete substitution. For HAZOP study, the team members of HAZOP study members will be chemical engineer, mechanical engineer, instrument engineer, fire safety officers, and electrical engineer. Most experienced among them will be the team leader. The HAZOP study requires that plant be examined for every line. The method applies all the guided words in turn and outcome is recorded for the deviation with its cause and consequences. Next tool of hazard evaluation is what if analysis. What if analysis is used to conduct a thorough and systematic examination of a process or operation by asking question that begins with what if. The questioning usually starts at the input to the process and follows the flows of process. Alternatively, the question can center on the particular consequences, category, that is personal safety or public safety. The findings are usually accident, event, sequences. Effective application of the techniques requires in-depth experience of the plant operation. Two type of boundaries that may be defined in what if study are A, consequences, category being investigated, B, the physical system boundary. The consequence categories are mainly a public risk, workers risk, economic risk for a specific plant. The purpose of physical boundaries is to keep the investigating team focused on a particular portion of a plant in which consequence of concern could occur. The typical information is required in what if analysis. First, operating conditions, physical and chemical properties of material, equipment description. Second, plot plan. Third, process and instrumentation diagram of the plant, including alarm monitoring devices, gauges. Fourth, responsibilities and the duties of the operating personnel communication system. Fifth, procedure for preventing maintenance works permit system for hazardous job tackling emergency system. Next technique used for hazard evaluation is failure mode and effect analysis. A failure mode and effect analysis tabulates failure mode of equipment and their effect on a system or plant. The failure mode describes how fails open, close, on, off, leak. The effect of the failure mode is determined by the system response to the equipment failure. A FEMA identifies single failure mode that either directly result or contributes significantly to an accident. Human operator errors are usually not examined directly in a FEMA. However, the effect of malfunction as a result of human error are usually indicated by an equipment failure mode. A FEMA is not efficient for identifying an exhaustive list of combination of equipment failures that lead to accident. The purpose of a FEMA is to identify single equipment and system failure modes and each failure mode's potential effect on the system or plant. This analysis typically generates recommendation for increasing equipment reliability, thus improving process safety. FEMA may be easily updated for design changes, system, plant modifications. Following parameters should be considered for FEMA. First, components under analysis. Second, failure or error mode. Third, effect of failure on other components. Fourth, effects of failure on whole process. Fifth, qualitative hazard classification. Sixth, qualitative assessment of failure frequency. Seventh, methods of failure detection. And eighth, contingency provision and remark. For example, consider a fire heater. It requires a fuel flow. The fuel flow is controlled by temperature controller, which activate control valve. In this case, following parameters have to be considered by failure mode and effect analysis. First, identify fuel control valve for analysis. Number is usually mentioned in flow sheet. Second, identify its failure or error mode on other components, whether it is jammed or fully open. Third, identify the effect of failure on other components. In this case, burner will continue to operate. Fourth, identify effect of failure on whole process system. Fifth, identify and classify the hazard. Sixth, assess the failure frequency. Seventh, determine the method of failure detection. Eighth, identify the contingency provisions, that is shut off fuel supply manually, throttle by isolating valve. Remarks, provide operating instruction. Next, hazard evaluation technique is fault tree analysis. Fault tree analysis is a powerful means of checking a safety concept and discovering weak points. It is not so useful to determine quantitative the risk of building of a new plant in neighborhood of existing plant. Fault tree can hardly be diagrammed to represent complex and dynamic physical chemical processes. Fault tree analysis is useful for decision making in safety design and for planning and maintenance and control. Fault tree analysis is method by which one tries to find all possible causes leading to one single undesigned top event. Next tool for hazard evaluation is event tree analysis. Event tree analysis is complementary to fault tree analysis. Fault tree analysis starts from final event such as gas coming out of a scrubber, and the analysis starts from the top to the source of cause. In event tree analysis, a particular specific event is identified and its all possible outcomes are explained. Event tree for release of flammable gas problem are overcome in event tree analysis. Approach to problem in event tree technique is inductive. It provides information on how a failure can occur and probability of its occurrence. The ETA approach includes the effect of an event initiation followed by the impact of safety system. For accident prevention, job safety analysis is used as a hazard evaluation technique. Job safety analysis has four steps. First is select the job. Second is break the job down into successive steps. Third, identify the hazards and potential accidents. Fourth, develop ways to eliminate the hazards and prevent the potential accidents. First, selecting the job. The most hazardous and those with the worst accident experience should be taken first. The following are the suggested as guiding factor for selecting the job. First, frequency of accidents. The greater the number of accidents associated with job, the greater its priority claim for job safety analysis. Second, production of disabling injury. Every job that has produced disabling injury should be analyzed. Third, severity potential. Some jobs may have no history of accidents but may have the potential for injury. Fourth, new job created by changes in equipment and processes. Job safety analysis should be made on every new jobs. Second step for doing job safety analysis is breaking the job down. The job should be broken into basic steps. These steps must not be too general or too limited. Each step should describe what is being done. Steps should be given in the order of occurrence. Third step of job safety analysis is identifying the hazards. Each step is analyzed for hazards and potential accidents. The purpose is to identify all the hazards by observing the knowledge of the hazards, whether produced by environment or connected with job procedures. Fourth step for doing job safety analysis is developing solutions. The principal solutions are, first, find an entirely different way to do the job. Second, change the physical conditions that create hazards. Third, revise the job procedures. Fourth, reduce the frequency of jobs by correcting the conditions that make it necessary. Next, we will discuss about the advantage of job safety analysis. First, it maps out all the details of an operation so that it gets the supervisor directly in touch with minute details of the job as no their procedure can do. Second, it is quick, simple, factual and objective so that it makes the supervisor use his imagination in determining whether each element of the job is necessary, whether each element is done in a safe way. Third, it permits a ready comparison of undesirable methods and the proposed new method, demonstrating the type of hazard and the number of steps involved in each. Fourth, it presents a picture of the effect on production with safety improvement. Fifth, it is an aid for showing management that proper designed safety features does not hinder production output and therefore can assist in convincing management the benefits to be gained by improving the safety. In the sixth chapter, we will study about plant safety inspections. Plant safety in a well-organized company, safety inspections are constantly made. Safety inspections are classified into two categories. First, general safety inspections. General safety inspection is carried out in most of the plant as a routine activity. They look for conditions or practices that may carry hazards which was absent in his last inspections. Second, selective safety inspection. Here they concentrate on one set of circumstances closely and get very effective results. They go to spot directly and make observation. The plant inspector is done with the aim of finding unsafe acts and unsafe conditions both for work for machine. The inspector concentrate on the following areas. First is housekeeping, second is material handling, third adequacy of working space, fourth guarding of rotating, revolving, transmission of machinery. Fifth, upkeep of hand tools. Sixth, proper location of ladders, steps, lifts, hoists, elevators, and safe handling of them. Seventh, conditions of floors, platform, stairs, railings. Eighth, electrical equipments and their operating switches. Ninth, lighting. Tenth, dust, fume, gases and vapors. 11th, dangerous substances like acid and explosive locations. 12th, exit path. 13th, location of pressure vessels. Safety is a type of safety audit is a type of safety inspection. As per manufacture, storage and import of hazardous chemical rule 1989, every occupier of a major accident hazard industry is to conduct safety audits once in a year and send to a copy of to the concerned authority. The safety audit is the process that identifies unsafe conditions and unsafe acts in the plant and recommends safety improvements. Safety auditing is very effective tool with safety management for identifying weak spots and planning corrective actions. What are the objectives of safety audits? To make arrangements of ensuring safety and reducing the risk to health due to storage, transportation of raw material. Second, to provide information, instruction, supervision, training to ensure health and safety of the employee. Third, to investigate chemical process plant hazard and make suggestion guidelines for improvement of safety. Fourth, to evaluate operating instructions manual, consider modification if any mod or to be made or to be introduced. Next, to pinpoint hazard during annual shutdown and repair of major equipments. Seventh, to analyze plant safety record and remedial actions implemented. There can be three types of safety audits. First, walkthrough safety audit. Second, intermediate safety audit. And third, comprehensive safety audit. Walkthrough safety audit is the least expensive safety audit. It evaluates the unsafe conditions noticeable to the naked eye during the walk through the plant with keen observation from safety point of view. During construction phase, walk through safety audit may be carried out for stores, civil works, erection works, documentation, commissioning work. Security requirements are also audited. During operation and maintenance, safety auditor observes the process, unsafe acts and unsafe conditions. Second is intermediate safety audit. The intermediate safety audits involves more detailed study and review of plant design and plant operation than a walk-through audit. Detailed measurements of high-risk zones are conducted. These measurements are related with factor of safety. Tests may be conducted or unsafe conditions of equipments. Intermediate audits identifies weakness in plant design equipment and subsystem and operations, maintenance, procedures and improves are also suggested. Improvements are also suggested. Next is comprehensive safety audit. The comprehensive audit is full-scale audit that evaluates the safety factors in the plant on this basis of engineering analysis, testing, measurement, model analysis. Full-scale improvements in the plant design, renovation, operation procedure, staffings are recommended the comprehensive audit. Following records are to be examined during safety audit. First, safety organization chart. Second, training records on safety, fire and first aid. Third, record of plant safety inspection. Fourth, accident investigation report. Fifth, accident and dangerous occurrences, statistics and analysis. Sixth, records of test of examination of equipment. Seventh, record of work permit. Eighth, maintenance and testing records of fire detection and firefighting equipments. Next, medical records of employees. Next, material safety data sheets. Next, records of industrial hygiene surveys, ventilation, illumination, explosive gases, airborne and toxic substances. Next, on-site emergency plan and record of mock drill. Next, record of waste disposal and effluent discharges. Next, minutes of safety committee meetings. Next, housekeeping inspection records. Next, shutdown maintenance procedures and safety in transportation of hazardous substances. In the 7th chapter, we will discuss about safety performance. Safety performance measurement is the utmost necessary of any organization to ascertain its position with respect to health and safety. Until now, nobody has developed a single measuring stick that will provide an accurate system for the measurement. However, safety professionals use a combination of methods to carry out such performance assessment. A few of such methods are: first is accident statistics, second is system management audits, third safety perception surveys, and fourth, safety culture assessment. Accident statistics. Accident statistics is a popular measure used by organizations to benchmark their companies and departments against other in the industry. However, this method is not flawless, as fluctuation in accident statistics during consecutive years can be very difficult to explain. Moreover, use of accident statistics can be misleading, as some unit may have mere accident during particular year. In spite of visible program made in various HSE frontal activities. Second point is safety management system. Safety management system audit is another method of health and safety performance measurement that has limitation in terms of effectiveness. Selection of the audit instruments, selecting a competent auditor, and utilizing a particular audit scoring method are the process that have many flaws embedded in them. Therefore, the outcome can be misleading. Moreover, some of the audit methods focus heavily on the management system and some on integrity of facility parts. An audit method that combines these two aspects proportionately should be useful and desirable one for the purpose. Next point is safety perception survey. Studies suggest that 90% of the disabling accidents are the results of employee behavior. The results of a perception survey can reveal those factors that influence employee behavior, such as production, lack of management trust, and credibility. Employees' behavior is influenced by what they perceive to be true. If they truly believe that management places production ahead of safety, their day-to-day decisions on how they should work will be primarily based on the achieving higher production, perhaps at the expense of safety. Nevertheless, if management commitment to the safety is demonstrated, it is most likely that employee would try to place safety with production, if not ahead of it. Fourth point is safety culture assessment. Safety culture assessment method, which is not an one-time activity but an ongoing process. Management through various health and safety program tries to build the knowledge and awareness that are much needed for the development of this culture, and later on determines through audit and other measures the extent to which it is successful in developing safety culture. Tables showing reactive and proactive safety performance indicators are lost time injury, frequency rate, severity rate, and lost time. Proactive indicators are risk assessment, standard operating procedures, workplace inspection, safety tour by middle and safety senior management, behavior-based safety, performance assessment including training, HEADS identification. Next, toolbox meeting, floor level meeting, and safety perception survey, safety culture survey. In the 8th chapter, we will discuss about risk analysis. A risk is the measure of probability and severity of adverse effects. Risk assessment is an overall process of estimating the magnitude of risk and deciding whether or not the risk is tolerable. All departments have to carry out risk assessment for all their routine and non-routine activities. Risk analysis includes hazards identification, risk assessment, and risk communication. A risk analysis presents rigorous and quantitative results in a simple format to investigation, make the appropriate personnel, economic and ethical and political decisions. It includes comparative costs and benefits, the basis for priorities that maximizes the benefits and minimizes the cost. Hazards refers to the sources of risk. A heap of toxic chemical may be hazard to a human health, but is not risked till someone is exposed to it. Risk is the probability of exposure of individual, population or ecosystem to hazardous condition. Risk can be lowering by reducing the components of risk, that is the probability that hazardous condition will exist. Probability of exposure of people to hazardous condition, the severity of consequences. An important step in risk analysis is risk assessment, which provides an estimate of severity and likelihood of harm to population ecosystem from exposure to a hazard. It includes source that is actual and potential hazard, their location and probable frequencies of exposure. Second, exposure assessment, that is actual probable recipient on an exposure, including concentration and times of exposure. Third, estimating the quantity of hazard that may reach organs, tissues, and the percentage of exposed population that will be harmed, injured by exposure. Risk characterization. That it is important to understand that few things are completely risk-free, and thus the levels of acceptable, tolerable risk to be specified by individual agencies on the basis of cost-benefit analysis. Components of risk analysis. First, hazard identification. Second, causes consequences analysis. Third, HAZOP analysis. Fourth, fault tree analysis for frequency assessment. Fifth, safety audit assessment. Sixth, individual and societal risk assessment. And seventh is risk contour mapping. Risk assessment process can be divided in following steps. First, identify the hazards. Second, evaluating the risks. Third, implementing control measures. Fourth, recording the findings. And fifth, monitoring and reviewing the assessment. We use personal protective equipment for the protection of our body from dangerous and toxic gases, fumes. Why these PPEs are needed? For any accident prevention work, engineering control is the best control, and aid of the protective equipment should be supplementary control. PPEs provide defense against hazards of toxic exposure, dusting, chemical splashes, steam water and liquids, flying particles, hot substances, radiation, sharp edges, welding, striking against and stepping over objects, glare, personal fall and injury due to falling bodies, noise, scrap, material handling, electrical shock, burn and firefighting. Many fatal accidents are caused due to these reasons, and use of appropriate PPEs can prevent or lessen the consequence of many of them. Why PPEs are needed? PPEs are needed because there is a chances of failure of engineering control. Second, there are certain operation or accidental situation where engineering control are not possible. Third, it effectively avoids the contacts of dangerous substances including chemicals. Fourth, it protects from atmospheric containments. Fifth, it is a legal as well as moral duty to provide suitable PPEs. The need of PPEs can be well judged from past accident experience, second, report of the safety committee or representative, third, safety audits, safety surveys, sampling and job safety analysis. Fourth, legal requirements and reports of the factory inspector. Fifth, record of the medical department. What should be the selection criteria of PPEs? The following selection criteria should be kept in mind while selecting PPEs. First, they should give adequate protection against the nature, severity and type of hazard. Second, they should be minimum weight and should give minimum discomfort with protective efficiency. Third, attachment to the body should be flexible yet effective. Fourth, the wearer should not be restricted in the movement. Sixth, they should be durable and attractive. Seventh, they themselves should not cause any hazard through their material design defect or failure. They should fulfill Indian standard and tests required. Next, they should be easy to clear, repair and maintain. The parts or piece should be easily available. Types of PPEs: eye and face protection, second, head protection, foot protection, hand protection, hearing protection and respirators. Before deciding what kind of PPEs to be worn, we should gather and analyze information as given below. First, complete and accurate description of the task. Second, identify all hazards that may require protection. This should include a list of chemicals involved as well as physical hazards such as abrasion, tearing, puncture and temperature, light, noise and vibration. Third, nature of potential contact. Will the contact with the chemicals B. Splash, occasional, continuous. Fourth, contact location. Which part of the body can be chemical contact? Contact time. How long will the worker be in contact with chemical? This should influence the selection of types and thickness of the gloves material and choice of the lined and unlined material. Sixth, potential effect of skin exposure. The immediate irritation and corrosion the skin must be considered. Decontamination procedure. Consider whether the PPEs should be disposed of or cleared and any special procedure required for disposing of decontamination. Flexibility and touch sensitivity needed for the task. This need may significantly limit the thickness of glove material that can be used. The requirement of textured or non-slip surface to improve grip must be considered. Next step is the training requirement of employees. First is, what are the hazards that skin contact with chemical can result in? Second, what are the limitations of PPEs? Third, what could happen and what to do if PPEs fails? Fourth, when to dispose of or decontaminate PPEs? In this book, we have studied about chemistry of fire, conduction, convection and radiation, causes and precautions of fire, extinguishing media, hazard evaluation techniques, safety inspection programs, safety performance and elements of risk analysis. Thank you.